Well, we all know those fires have been so tragic over the last couple of days. Doesn't matter where you go in the state of Nebraska, it seems like you run into an area that's battling some fire. And the Red Alert Western Rural Fire Departments and Billy Cole and Company have been called for mutual aid. And Billy, I know, kind of going back and forth a little bit. What's you and your crew tell us? But kind of what's your schedule's been? I mean, has it literally kind of been back and forth, or did you stay there permanently for a couple of days?
Yeah. So we were actually paged Thursday afternoon as part of the Mid Plains Mutual Aid Association, which we're part of. The Mid Plains Association actually is like North Platte, Curtis, Maywood, Stapleton, all of those kind of in the Lincoln County north and all over there. So we're part of that mutual aid. And so they paged us to come up there and help with the cottonwood.
And that's one of, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, it's like four or five that it's kind of been around the state. Is that right?
Yeah. So kind of about the same time. They had the Morrill County fire, which I think I looked was, I think this morning, over 500,000 acres, and that's got a couple counties up there, like Keith County, Morrill, all of those. So they were actually calling people to go up there as well. And then there was one, I believe, in Halsey that they had some as well. So there were several, but we got called to the cottonwood.
Yeah, the Morrill fire up in the kind of the Morrill, Grant, Arthur, and Keith counties. That's kind of Ogallala area. That was one. And, of course, you mentioned the cottonwood. I was just reading some news. That's burned 122,000 acres in Dawson and Lincoln counties alone. It's now the second biggest single fire in Nebraska history. That's ooh. Wow.
Well, we try to break records.
You don't want to hear that's not a record you want to hear about, that's for sure.
No, not really. Not real proud of that one.
I know it. It's just and boy, the windy conditions and it's the dry conditions. Billy and I talk about that all the time, and we just can't get any rain. And boy, those March winds kick up to between 30 and 50 miles per hour. It just doesn't help matters at all, does it?
Right. Well, and where we were at the first night, the bad part about being up in those hills is your wind, you know, is coming out of the, it switched during the day and our wind was coming out of the north, northwest, but it gets in the bottom of those canyons and in those hills and it just swirls. And so we had a lot of problems with not just the wind, but, you know, visibility. There's a lot of fuel up there when it comes to grasses and all the cedars. And so it was a struggle, and there was a lot of big, we call it big fire, that we were trying to put out just so we could, you know, at least save homes and do things like that we could do. Obviously, we weren't going to put it out. This was going to be a multi-day event from the very beginning.
What can they do, or the all the firefighters there? I mean, you're battling this, but what, I guess a little bit, what can be done? I mean, besides, we're praying that we could just get a front or something that could bring in some rain or something like that, but what else can you do to put this thing out?
Right. Well, so we went back Friday. We're lucky enough that through our Republican Valley Task Force, which we have down here, which our department, Holbrook, Cambridge, Eustis, there's several departments that are involved with that. You know, we could do the day-night shifts for several days. So our day shift crew came in, the rest of us came home, and then I actually went back up Friday afternoon with some UTV, and we kind of went around things and we developed a plan. And with Game and Parks, what we did, since we had some kind of the right kind of weather, we actually did what they call burnouts. So we were back burning a lot of that into where it needed to be. And you have to realize that this thing, they said, was probably 40 miles long. So the section that we were burning was just a piece of the fire. And so we burned in a lot of those cedar trees. When I went back on Saturday, we had another team that did Friday overnight. We all went back Saturday. And we spent the day burning that whole section that we were on out. So it would basically not go anywhere. So if the winds came out of the south, they would hit the black lines. If they go from the north, they'd hit the black lines, and we wouldn't have any carryover of embers and start fires. So we did that for those 2 days. And then last night, yesterday afternoon, we went to Farnham, and we helped them kind of develop an overnight so they could go home and go to bed, and we covered their overnight for them. And it was us and Loomis and Bartley and Cambridge and Axtell that kind of came in and said, okay, we're here, let's help. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, unfortunately, some homes were involved, and folks had to be evacuated over the weekend too, didn't they?
They did. We were in a couple places where there were some homes. Luckily, they weren't burned out, so we didn't worry too much about that. We'd check on them, make sure they weren't burning. We did see a couple structures that we lost on our side that on the first night that, there was a small barn, like calving shed that went up. But other than that, the two houses that we knew of in our area were not burned. So,
well, unfortunately, this is not, the containment's been really tough with these fires, Billy. You know darn well this could continue. Boy, the temperatures are going to be roasting here Wednesday through the weekend. We get some winds and no rain. You're looking right at possibility of more, couldn't you?
Yeah, they're saying that we're going to have, I think somebody said tomorrow that there's a high probability of fire weather again. It doesn't look like the winds, knock on wood, are awful, but that RH, humidity, all of that value, those values, we look at, they're very limited. I mean, even overnight, we expect our humidities to recover, and we weren't getting the recovery, so we still had high fire at night. So if something else happens, we have to look at that. But yeah, this weather is not going to be conducive for putting it out. But the Rocky Mountain team has come in, I believe, on the Morrill fire as well as the Cottonwood. And we spoke with them yesterday and this morning, and they're going to start covering some of that, bringing in some resources to help everybody. And we've worked with them before on a couple other big fires, and they're great. They have the ability to manage that, kind of put it back down to a level where it's manageable for the local fire departments, and then they leave. So
I know McCook Fire Chief Mark Harpum, right before the weekend, put out a memo to everybody that fire burning fires is prohibited, and of course in McCook and Redwood County, and you're going to see this pretty much everywhere. If they haven't done it, they will probably get to it more, don't you think?
Right. So I saw something. The governor basically issued a proclamation about it. And so the deal with the burn permits in the state of Nebraska is the state is actually in a statewide burn ban all the time. It never goes away. But what it does is fire chiefs can actually waive that by giving a burn permit for open burning. So if people are burning tree piles, just out in their yards, things like that, that's considered open burning. And so if they're going to do that, then they need to have a permit with us, because they would be violating that statewide burn ban. So that's how that kind of works. And they can actually go to the Nebraska State Fire Marshal's website and read kind of the statutes and stuff. But when they do that, when he takes that away from the fire chiefs, and so like Jeffrey, who's our fire chief, he cannot issue a burn permit anymore for anything. But not only does that proclamation cover the fire chiefs for their burn permits, it's also for fire pits and all of those as well. So, if you want to go camping early this weekend when it's nice and warm, you can't have a campfire. You can't have those things. So it also covers that. But yeah, there's that statewide burn ban all the time. And we're very particular about how we give burn permits out. It's not always super easy for us to do it, and it's hard to understand for people as to why you just can't burn. But it's a law, so we can't do it.
I know we've talked in the past about chains and dragging of chains, how they can spark, and always encouraging whoever, farmers, ranchers, whoever, boy, don't let that happen. That's not a good thing to have happen right now.
Yeah. Make sure your chains aren't dragging, they're tied up. Make sure your wheel bearings are good. Things happen. We all get it. You can't fix it every time, but there's things that you can kind of look at, make sure it's good to go. But again, it things happen and we get that. And that's, you know, that's kind of an accidental thing. I honestly don't know how all of these started. So I don't know if it was accidental or real. I think the Morrill County one was a power pole that fell out. I think I did see that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, accidents do happen. So that's not a big deal for us. But if you're out there, you know, physically burning something and light a 100,000 acre fire, then we're going to be a little upset. So, and you have to then start looking at lawsuits and things like that as well. So
you expect to be called out again here sometime this week?
No.
just got to wait and see a little bit, huh?
But yeah. If we are, I'm going to text you a very mean face.
I shouldn't have brought that up, darn it. You're hoping not to get called out, but wouldn't be surprised. Well, you hope to get this thing gets contained in the next day or so. Cross some fingers on that.
Absolutely.